enter in that door. Oh, enter into the door. There's life here. There's real life here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm going to lay everything down for you. I'm going to make sure that you get the best. I'm going to make sure you have good pasture. I'm going to lay myself out there and sacrifice myself so that you can have the very best. You realize that's what Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary was all about. It was for you and me that we could have the best. That we could have the best life. That we could have the most joyous life. That we could have the best and greatest contentment. That we could have the greatest peace. In this setting, we see, if you even try to get in another way, if you even try to get in another way, he calls you a thief and a robber.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's Jesus' words.
Yes.
Yep.
So that person that says, oh, you don't have to be baptized, they're robbing from you.
Yes.
Right.
They're stealing something precious from
right.
you.
Yes.
If they tell you, oh, you don't need the Holy Ghost, that was for only them back there, or that you don't have to,
whoa. They're trying to steal something.
Right.
How many of y'all like robbers?
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes a thief?
No.
Come on, somebody's got a lot of, somebody's got to like a thief in here. If you really don't like a thief, then why are you letting people steal from you?
Right.
Why wouldn't you embrace Jesus entirely?
Right.
Amen. Good. Right.
Huh? You like being, because there's some of you, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be hateful at all. You're being robbed daily of peace that's yours. That Jesus died and took all of the pain and the sin and the shame and everything. He took all of that, and you're being robbed day in and day out of peace.
There's a robber in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking up residence. And some of us go, well, this is just the way it is. No, it isn't. He doesn't have to have that bedroom.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
Some of us got the robber right in it. He's in the matter of fact, y'all moved out of the master bedroom and gave him your master bedroom. You're sleeping on the couch.
Come on.
You let the thief and the robber in, and you're sleeping on the couch. He's got your master bedroom. He's kicking back and having it good. And he's robbing you every day of love and joy and peace. And
yes, amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, he is. Somebody needs to kick the robber out today.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody needs to kick the thief out. Give him an eviction notice.
Amen.
Here's your eviction notice, Bubba. You're out.
That's right.
I won't take a lot of time, but let me just remind you that there was a place and a time where they tried to build a tower into the heavens. Anybody remember that place?
Yeah.
Called the Tower of Babel?
We're going to build all the way to the heavens so that we'd never be destroyed again. We're going to make ourselves a way to heaven.
Yeah.
And God said, no, you're not. You can't make your own way. And so he confounds it. And let me tell you, that's what's happening to a lot of people. You know why people are searching today? Because they go over and they try this religion. They try this religion and they try to get in some other way.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Well, this is what you got. Oh, I don't want to do that to be saved. Let me go try this religion.
Right.
So they go over here and oh, I want to be saved. Well, this is what you do, and then oh no, that don't fit my style.
Right.
And so they're searching for the way.
Because there's something in every single one of us, we want to be saved.
Right.
We
Everybody want to be saved?
Yes.
I want to be saved.
But you can't go this way, and you can't go that way.
There is, he said, I am. Don't forget this. I am the way, the truth. There is only, and somebody said, that's very arrogant. That's very egotistical. Well, then that's what Jesus was. And Jesus was very arrogant because he said, I am the way.
Right.
I am the life. I am the truth. I am the shepherd. I am the door. I am.
And he says it over and over and over again. And what does God do? He looks down and he sees that they're all in one language and unity and all this kind of stuff. And he sees that that part's all good. But for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
For the wrong reason.
He said, we got to go down and do something about this, fellas.
And go down and confound the language and make everything a mess. And you know why? Because you can't make your own way to heaven.
Right.
You can't do it your own way. You've got to do it his way.
Amen.
The Bible way. God will take it down. God will take you down when you try to build yourself your own little way to heaven. There's only one way. There's only one way.
Isaiah 45.
I apologize. My voice is like running out.
Isaiah 45, 5 and 6. And so that's why I'm going to try to just talk more than
you all know how that works.
I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee.
Though thou hast not known me,
that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. Verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, and he established it, and he created it not in vain. For he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. 46, 9, and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, to the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. My word shall stand. And it's all for God's pleasure.
In just this short amount of settings, which I can read hundreds of scriptures like these, he keeps telling us over and over again, there's none else. And we've already established that I and my Father are one. So there's no misunderstanding when we get to the New Testament that in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, he said, neither is there salvation in any
other.
There's no salvation in any other. None. There's no salvation in any other because God is arrogant.
Because God is egotistical. Because,
no. No, he's God.
Yeah.
And there's none else.
Right.
There ain't nobody beside, there's no little Jehovah Jr. There's no.
Right.
No. He said it's me.
Right.
If there's anybody that has a right to say it's all about me,
yeah.
He has the right.
Yes.
Come on there. Because that's what he does. He said, I don't want there to be any confusion. I am the only one. There is nobody else like me.
Yeah.
He's not. That's why he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
If I'm going to get to heaven, I got to go through the the door. The door is Jesus. I can't climb up the wall. I can't get some dynamite and blow through the wall. I've got to go through the door. There's no other way, or I'm a thief. I'm a robber.
If I preach to you some other way, that's not of the gospel. That is not of the word of God. I'm stealing from you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be a thief.
I'm not going to rob from you. I'm just going to tell you,
walk through that door.
Well, but he requires me to do this, and he wants me to do that. And
just walk through the door and see what he'll do.
Just walk through the door and see what God. And some of us are standing on the outside of the door saying, "Hey, we got all this fictitious stuff. Well, I can't do it. Oh, this has to change." And just walk through the door and then worry about all that stuff.
Amen.
Walk in through the door and let him take you on a journey.
Man, I just look out that window. As soon as I said journey. And I see one hill, and then I see another hill, then I see another mountain in the back, and then it rises up one more time beyond that. And I look out there and I go, that would be a journey for me just to take off right now. Mm-hmm. But at each place, I would go through many valleys. Mm-hmm. But each place, I would get to the top of that mountain, and I would be higher than what I am here. I can look beyond that, and I know that there's a valley there, and I can see the next one, and I know I'd be higher than the next one, and much higher than this one. But I'm going to have to go through some hills and some valleys to get to the other side. But I see that one way off in the distance, and I go, now that one, there we go. I can get to that hill. It's a journey, folks. There's going to be hills, and there's going to be valleys. But you can get all the way up there. And look at that high ground. No, you can't see it. You see it through my eyes, okay? I want to get to that high ground.
Yeah.
I'm not happy where I am right now. But man, if I got to the top of that mountain over there right now, boy, I could see a lot.
Well, glory.
Man, I'd see things like I've never saw before. But where I am right now, I can't see it. Let me tell you, let Jesus walk through that door and let Jesus take you on a journey. Let me read to you a few more scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 4 said, there is one body. This is powerful. It's all throughout the scripture. There is one body. There is one body.
Yes, sir.
Right.
There is one body.
Good. One.
Let me tell you something that's horribly sickening about religion. Is you got the Spanish church, and you got the Filipino church, and we got the black church, and we got even right on this road, there's a Filipino church, there's a Samoan church down the road over here, Korean church down the road over there. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame. That's still the only place that there's still a lot of segregation and separation is in the church.
Right.
Is in the religious. We got the Micronesian church over there. Yeah. We got this church over there. We got. Right. But I'm going to tell you what the will of God is. This is the will of God right here.
Yes.
Because we got the Micronesian sitting right there. Yeah. We got the princess. The sitting right here. We got the Heinz 57. Huh? We got the black man from the hood. We got the brother from the hood. Yeah. Yeah. And we got that. Where are you from, sis? You're from the United States. Where's your mom and dad from? Mexico. We got them from Mexico. Brother. Carlos from El Salvador. I want to tell you, this is the will of God. Because he said, there is one body.
Yeah.
There ain't no segregation here. No. It ain't going to be an all-white church. The day that this becomes an all-white church, an all-black church, or whatever, it's wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong because there is one God. It's from every nation, every kingdom, every country. If you're trying to reach one
Jesus. Jesus is for every nation, every kindred, every tongue. And it's the will of God that all should be saved. And I will continue to preach that till the day that I die.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's the will of God that it... Right, we got some Dominican. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the will of God, and that's why tradition's got to go. That's why all those things and our heritage and whatever, because we come into the culture of Jesus Christ. We come into the culture of Jesus Christ. It's not that religion. It's not this. It's not that type of church. No, it is the body. There is one body. There is one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope.
Yes.
There's only one hope here today.
Amen.
Then he said, verse 5, one Lord, uh-huh. One faith.
Uh-huh.
One faith.
Yes.
What? That's not being arrogant. Hey, I don't have to be confused. Well, is it this or is it that? Or is it this or is it that? Man, I like to know that it's just there's one way. There's just one way. And if I walk after Jesus, Jesus is the way. I said Jesus is the way. I can know the way. There's no question. There's no theology. There's no philosophy. Hey man, I know that there's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the way. There's only one way to get in.
One way.
We sing that song. There's just one. One way to God. There's just one. One way to God. There's just one. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. For Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You want to put him on?
Yeah.
You put on Christ. You put on Christ when you've been baptized. That's what Galatians chapter number. Chapter number 3, verse 27. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on. That's something changed in me. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I put on Christ.
Right?
Romans chapter number 6, verse number 3 said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Don't you realize today that being baptized is a symbolism of dying, of being buried?
Right.
Mm. So that's why we get baptized. You got to bury some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Some stuff's got to be buried. Amen. Right? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism unto death. I'm telling you today, if somebody's telling you don't have to be baptized, they're wrong.
Right.
Say, preacher, that's pretty arrogant. No, I'm telling you, they're just wrong. The word of God, over and over and over again, throughout the word, be baptized, be baptized, be baptized. It's over and over and over again.
Yes, sir.
I'm not looking for another way.
Amen.
I'm not looking to create confusion. God said he is not the author of confusion.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
He is not the author of confusion. But we got a lot of confused people that say, well, and I've even had people read their Bible and say, well, it says right here to be baptized, but this guy said I didn't have to be baptized. Guess what? That guy's wrong. He's a thief and a robber. He's trying to get you in to heaven. He's building you a Tower of Babel. He's trying to get you in some of the way to heaven. When Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other way but through Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They say Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. For if ye have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Luke chapter number 24. And I'm going to close with a couple more settings of scripture. Luke 24:44 said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And I pray this on a daily basis. God, open our understanding that we might understand the scripture.
Yeah.
I received a text even this morning of some reasons why some people, they love the church. They love what they feel, but they didn't want to quote unquote give up one thing. And I thought this, I'm not going to name it because I don't want to get off into that. But let me just say, and I text that person back and I said, I'm just praying that they'll miss the Spirit of God more than they could ever miss that one thing that they feel like they just can't give up.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you what, I haven't given up anything.
Right.
That it wasn't worth giving
up. That's right.
Amen.
Oh, today, you can say, well, you don't do this and you don't do that.
I don't need that. You don't understand my relationship with Jesus is so much more than this temporal pleasure or this temporal thought or this temporal thing.
Oh, you don't understand the joy that I feel. You don't understand the peace and the contentment that I have. Oh, I don't need those things of this world. They're entrapments. They draw me away from my relationship with God. I don't want them.
Right.
Not that I can't have them.
That's right.
Realize that I can do anything I want to do.
Yes,
but there's some things that I don't want to do because they mess with my relationship.
Amen.
I don't go certain places. I can go anywhere I want to go.
Yes.
You know that today? Mm-hmm. I go down to the I'm over 21. I go down to the liquor store and buy myself a fifth of whatever. I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know what I do with it. I don't supposed to drink it, but I'm going to. And nevertheless, you've got to show that I could go down there and do that. Yeah. I walk into that store and I go, what do I got to get drunk? Well, just pick your poison.
That's the truth.
Right.
Yeah, I can do anything I want to do.
Now my relationship with God is way too precious.
Yes.
Oh, it's way too precious. What he's done for me, I'm not even interested in touching that. I'm not even interested in experiencing that because I experienced something so much greater. I've got joy.
So excited. There's so much joy in my heart. I just, oh God, I want to build your throne. It's a place of worship. It's a praise. And you know what? I didn't have to worry about what I did last night. I didn't have to worry. I don't have to look over my shoulder. I don't have to worry about sin.
Right.
So what, are you saying you have no sin? No, it's just very easy to take care of. God, forgive me. Boom. I don't know. There's been times in my life I knew exactly what I needed to repent of. But then there's been other times I've been like David, and I'm like, God, forgive me of my stuff that I don't even know what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
And you can show me. God, show me. If there's something more that I need to work on, and you know what? I don't get to pray that prayer very often, but every once in a while I do it. Boy, it don't take very long. He showed me. Well, I thought I was getting there. That was nice for 30 seconds. Huh? Yeah, because when you get real honest with God and you're feeling good, okay, man. Now, it's not that he brings condemnation. He says, you really want to go up higher? Let me take you on a journey. Let me take you up a little bit higher. You ready to go to the next mountain peak? Come on, come on, come on. Let's go up to the next mountain peak together. Let's go up higher. Let me take you to a deeper place in relationship than where you're at right now. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that what you want? Oh, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. And so may God open our understanding. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I was there. Wow, what an experience. I was there at what they think. And now that is something that is a little bit depressing.
We'll tell you that.
There's some places that they go, well, this is, when we went to the upper room, it really is symbolic. It's not the upper room. It's not the original. They think it's in that same place, in that area, but it's really not the same upper room. But they've designed it that way. And unfortunately, there's some of those things that they're making merchandise of. Nevertheless, we went and visited the place where somewhere in that area, that vicinity, is considered to be the upper room. We were on the same ground, let me say it like that. And we got to experience that place, that first message was preached. What I wanted to do is I said, where's the window that Peter stood up and he started talking to those in the city? And there was no window.
There was no place.
There was no streets below. There was nothing like that. So I know it wasn't. But there was definitely no way that 3,000 people could have gotten that little courtyard that was about 50 by 50. Okay, no way.
Right.
So don't let me, you go, oh man, that must have been a great trip. No, it wasn't that big a deal. Okay? But I know I was in the area. And I remember the scripture. I was there in Jerusalem when it was first mentioned. And he said that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let me tell you what repentance is. You see, this is what we don't have in our religious society today. Go ahead. We even have people that will preach about baptism and they'll get baptized, but they don't repent. Repentance is a lost art upon many religious people today. Repentance is reformation, a reversal of decision or choice, a change of mind and of heart. A reversal of decision and choice. You have the choice. Because Jesus is the way. Doesn't mean that there aren't other ways. There are other ways, but not ways to get to heaven.
Right.
You can go do anything because the scripture even said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Right?
Narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Does that resonate with anybody's?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, there's a. And so, see, well, why is it? Because narrow is the way. Why is it? Certainly, all of these, this big organization, this big religion, can't be wrong. Broad is the way, and many there be that find it, but narrow is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting.
Amen.
You're looking to go with the masses.
That hard, I know that's hard because our human mind wants to say, there can't be that many people that are wrong.
Look at the masses, look at the masses. But if it isn't
being preached the way, there's a statue of King David right outside of the place that they call the upper room. And our tour guide was telling us that that statue would constantly have graffiti spray painted on it and stuff, constantly defacing it, defacing it, defacing it. And they finally, and they would go in and they'd clean it up. They'd go in and clean it up. Finally, it was defaced and they broke the nose. They deformed the face of the image that was there. Come to find out, it was a religious sect that believed wholeheartedly not to have any graven images. And so to put a final touch of not having an image, no graven image, they broke off the nose and part of the face of King David, and it never was graffitied on again. Because now the image was imperfect. There's a lot of stuff that is religious that goes on like that. But it was a religious sect that they were so adamant to not to have any idols, no graven image. And they go around through Jerusalem and they deface all kinds of images. And so there's a high security issue there for like the Catholic Church, because if they go into the Catholic Church, they'll try to break the arm off of the image of Mary and the image of this, because it's full of images. They'll tear up all kinds of stuff because they don't want to have any other God before them. It's pretty powerful. And I'm telling you today that there's no other way. No other way but through repentance. But then it didn't stop there. He's in the remission of sins. Remission is a pardon of penalty, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty, release from bondage or imprisonment. He said, change your direction, change your choices that you made, and you're going to find a pardon. You're going to find a reversal of the charges that have been set against you. I was guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I got a charge against me. But if I can find a place of repentance, I can change the dynamic of the outcome. I don't have to be in bondage. I don't have to be held captive. I don't have to be tormented. But I can't go just any way that I want to go. I got to go through this door. And I got to get a relationship with Jesus. Verse 48, he said, ye are the witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I'm thankful today that you and I don't have to go back to Jerusalem to experience the power. Because there was that day, Acts chapter 2, that came about, and it was initially poured out upon those 120 in that upper room. They were all filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe today that if you're hungry, you're desirous, God can pour out His Spirit again just like He did in Jerusalem. You don't have to go back there.
in order to experience the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go back to Jerusalem in order to experience a power that is life-changing, that'll change and alter the course of your life. But today, Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only one. He is. Remember a setting of scripture that said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me tell you today, that burden that weighs heavy on your shoulders, those things that keep you up at night, the drawing of the Spirit of God on your heart, that you say you want to be closer to Him, but you feel this constant struggle in your heart and in your spirit. I want to get closer, and you start to get closer, and you feel that dragging your back, and you feel this great tug of war. I'm going to tell you, Jesus wants to give you power. He wants to give you power to overcome that. As we stand, Jesus is the way. There's so much in store for us today. There's so much that He has. I've never realized it like I have since I did visit the Holy Land. But there's so much that we can have today, that it's not just a story, and it's not just a place on the map, it's not just somewhere halfway around the world, but it's something that we can experience today. God's Spirit is in this house. And He's reaching. I said He's reaching. There's hurting hearts. There's hungry hearts. There's hearts in this building right now that you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're longing for something more. And Jesus is the only way you can have more of Jesus than you've ever had. There's those that are hurting. You're suffering emotionally. You're suffering physically. He came to fix that too. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty those that are held captive. Jesus is the answer for you. Jesus is the answer for you today. Don't go on in all of the trappings of the things. I'm begging of you. I'm pleading of you today. Enter in. Enter into the sheepfold. Enter into the door. Come on. Come on. Enter into the door. Jesus is on the way. There's all kinds of needs right now in this building. There's all kinds of needs from side to side, from front to back. Can I make an appeal to you today, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're facing? Would you come to this altar? Would you come to this altar? Would you come to, maybe not even kneel down, but just come to this altar? Come to this front. Make that move and step out of your pew and say, "Jesus, I need you more than anything, God. God, I'm feeling all of this anxiety. I got confusion in my mind. God, would you give me understanding? Would you pray?"